An interesting thing we found, particularly in the interviews, is that there are women who no longer attend church but still have a vibrant personal faith and instead are finding ways that they can serve outside of the local church. Mm.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 11.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love, and we are so glad you've joined us because we're going to be discussing a national study that was conducted on women in Canadian evangelical churches. It was a partnership of 14 Canadian organizations, including the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada and Tyndale University, collecting and getting Canadian data. Mm-hmm. And the research was conducted by the EFC Center for Research on Church and Faith with lead researcher Lindsay Calloway. And it took about nearly 3 years of asking the question, how do evangelical Christian women in Canada understand their roles in the church and what factors affect their participation or lack of participation in Canadian local churches? Literature reviews, interviews with ministry experts, and Canadian women all culminated, which culminated in this survey. And so the study wanted to hear what Canadian women are saying and thinking instead of assuming what we already know what Canadian women are saying or thinking or think we do. So joining me today to walk us through this national study and its findings, we have Dr. Jennifer Gilbertson. Dr. Jen, welcome. Now, you represented the study for Tyndale. Mm-hmm. You advise and you're a contributor on the research and the reports. You're a biblical scholar. You're a woman in the church. And you're also an assistant professor of biblical studies at Tyndale University.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Welcome. Wow. We're so glad to have you
Lovely
here.
Lovely to
and,
be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming. And our panel, of course, Helen Burns, pastor, international speaker, mentor to the next generation. Hi, Helen.
Hello.
Welcome back. And Sunite Lichmar, registered psychotherapist, national speaker, and author.
Thank
Welcome.
You.
And Nicole Langman, Christian therapist, international speaker, and award-winning author. Now, I know we have lots of questions about this study. So, Jen, let's start with you, and then we'll be ready to go. Why the need for this survey in Canada?
I think a big part of it was just that we wanted Canadian data. A lot of our data comes from the States, but also to platform Canadian women's voices, to like you said, to actually know what they're saying and thinking instead of just assuming it. Yeah. So we wanted to hear.
Yeah. Were you concerned because there was research done in the UK and the US that women were leaving the church? Is that part of one of the reasons that you did this as well?
Yeah, I think that contributed to some of the interest. Okay. I think it's just... we care about women. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just wanting to see how the same and different the Canadian context is from the data that we get from other countries would be a factor.
That's good.
Yeah.
So nearly 3 years of research, literature review, all that. Mm-hmm. What were some of the key findings, Jen, that this study found? Because I think we're very interested in it because we're women in the church.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, Canada is a big, diverse country, and of course we found women in the church are really diverse. But one of the beautiful things is that we're all, we all share those evangelical convictions of we care about scripture, we care about the local church, and we want to be a part of it. Mm. But from there, you just see so much diversity that's shaped by, you know, we read scripture in different ways. Mm-hmm. We're a part of different local church cultures. We often don't recognize that we're in our own little culture bubbles.
Yeah.
The different life stages that we're in, but just the relational dynamics, where you're at with those. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk to women about how do they understand their roles, the key thing that came out is they really think of it more in terms of the contribution that they make to the church, instead of like describing this role or that role, but like where do their gifts meet the needs of the church? Mm. And women serve, of course, across a whole diversity of areas, from caregiving, prayer, worship leading, teaching, administration, tech, church boards, all of that. But that participation is shaped by so many different things. So this can include what you see modeled. What are other women doing?
Yeah.
Are you being invited into these positions? Women often want to be asked. Sometimes we are kind of a... For humility's sake, maybe, we're not asking to do things. We want to be invited into those spaces. Mm-hmm. A big thing is whether we are psychologically and spiritually safe in those contexts as well.
Yeah.
But also another factor is those times that there's a gap between policy and practice, mm-hmm. where church will say this about women, but then in practice they don't do it. So maybe they support women in ministry, but you've never heard a woman preach. That's a real problem for some women. And so within this, we saw that there was some generational shifts, whereas earlier generations of women, you know, were such a beautiful volunteer base that really did a lot of things that were behind the scenes. The younger women, more generations, are moving more towards front-facing things with a real emphasis on community. So where community is a big factor for why they choose the churches that they do. But with the recognition that there are so many things that will restrict our ability to be as active in church communities as we want to, things like work and school, caregiving loads. And then think about things like your marital status. And, you know, in a place like Canada, your experience as an immigrant or diversity of languages. Community expectations play a big role as well. Or how churches have responded to past harms and abuse. And so I think one of the things we really heard from women is the need for transparent and trustworthy systems. And so one of the questions, too, is why do some women stay in the church and why do some women go? And part of that, they have the same reasons, but it points them in different directions. So teaching, doctrine, community are all factors women care about. So some women stay in church for those things, and some women have had bad experience of those things, so they go out of church. And so an interesting thing we found, particularly in the interviews, I think, is that there are women who no longer attend church but still have a vibrant personal faith and instead are finding ways that they can serve outside of the local church. And so I think we need to listen to those women. Why are you going? And so I think the research study really gives a call to the church to discernment, to make sure that convictions and practice align to create a culture and a safe space where we can all thrive and use our gifts.
I love that. That's really good. I mean, that's extensive. I know there's a lot more. But I want to land on four key findings in this study. The first one, I'd love your thoughts, and then I'd love our thoughts, because I think we need to engage in these findings, because they impact us and how we'll mentor and lead next generation. So first one was younger women value community more than doctrine teaching. Wow. And when I say wow, it's that's interesting, because you're kind of feeling like, oh, wait a second. That's so community over doctrine and teaching.
So the question really was, women were asked, what are the reasons why you attend church? And 69% of Gen Z, 58% of millennials, they really highlighted the importance of community. Now, compare that to 45% of boomers or 47% of Gen Z. So that says boomers and Gen Z still think it's important, but it's
not as high.
Way higher for millennials and Gen Z.
So what do you guys think of that? Does that make sense? Does that resonate? Are you like...
Oh yeah. I think that is so reflective of our culture. Like, we live in an information age, right, where you can listen to any preacher, you can access any sermon from around the world.
That's a good point.
And so there's less of an emphasis on wanting doctrine teaching that's in line with just what you need and meeting your needs, because you can access that anywhere. And I think the community part, it might be reflective of the lack of third spaces that we have in our culture. You know, like, it's just, especially since COVID, there's been an elimination and of spaces where people can gather, especially places that are free. And so church is still that place, that third space, and people go there for that, because that's a real need that we have. And maybe the older generation are meeting this need in other ways, and they have that kind of rhythm in place, whereas maybe Gen Z don't have that. You know, like, they became adults during this whole COVID time in our life, right? So church has become that place where they can get that communal need met.
Brings up my question around this, Dr. Jen, is when was this research conducted? And I wonder if the findings would be different 10 years ago versus, or like 6 years ago versus now, because I really think it speaks to loneliness. And what I've seen as a therapist is what has come from COVID is this loneliness and this feeling of disconnection, and people are still trying to find their... So I'm wondering if the findings, like, can you tell, speak a little bit around the dates of the research?
So it would have been about a year ago that the survey opened. So it was opened during the spring of 2025. So it's hard to measure, how much, because COVID affected us all so much.
Yep, so much.
Yeah. I find it fascinating, too, that as a pastor, my husband and I have led a church for 40 years. And so I think we have seen trends and shifts and things happen. Mm. And some of it, I think, that has come to light in recent years, that there has been a lot of disappointment in church hurt. And where it happened in the past, it was a lot more hidden. But it's become very loud and very strong in the opinion space. Mm-hmm. And so people do, I think, especially for a woman, they want to have a sense of safety in the community that they're serving. And so if it feels like anything about that feels unsafe or unclear, we just avoid it rather than engage. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that in this era, especially for women, that feels really important. Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it is I don't want anyone to think that younger women care about teaching doctrine.
Yeah.
I think they do care, but one thing, it's often hard to find a church that you 100% align with doctrinally. So realistically, I think that might be a factor, but...
That's a good point.
Speaking like using my biblical scholar hat, when you look at the New Testament, when you look at the early Christian communities, there's supposed to be a connection between community and right teaching about Jesus. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That if you are actually preaching the gospel, you should also be living the gospel. Yeah. And my hope is that younger women understand are getting that at some level. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Okay, that's the good. Second one was about visibility. It was about this lack of the sort of like upfront visibility, the importance of visibility of women up front, not always in the background. So let's talk about that. Is that, well, first of all, does that resonate? Did you see women leading? Some of you did see women, some of you didn't.
Not growing up, no.
Not growing up, no. So you didn't see women leading from the front in churches?
No. Not at all.
And I didn't, depending on my church and denomination. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, so tell us what's going on there. Dr. Jen.
So in the survey, we found that younger women really value seeing patterns of participation that they can aspire to or that they can admire. Mm. So here's some stats. For the statement, I aspire to be like the women in my local church, 80% of Gen Z agrees.
Mm. Wow.
72% of millennials. But then it kind of keeps dropping. So silent generation, 46%, boomer, 65%. Mm,
okay.
So just there's that higher level of, I want to see women doing lots of things.
Wow. Okay.
They want to see the visible participation.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that, so maybe these are some things you can think about. There also gives then, perhaps this is more variety that women can aspire to. If you're seeing more, you can see yourself doing more things. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's a greater affirmation of women's giftings and the good and important things we do behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. Mm. I think it also helps to shape our imaginations, not just women, but the church as a whole for the role of women in the church, the more you see women doing things.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's tough. I mean, we can just briefly talk about this, where different denominations, different interpretations of the scriptures, women's roles impacted. Mm-hmm. So you could be at a church that's fully about women can preach, lead, be on the board, and there's other denominations you can't. So it's an interesting conversation because you have young women coming in where they're in places of leadership at workplace.
Yeah.
They're encouraged to lead, use their gifting. And so I can see sometimes the rub when you go to a church where it's like in the tension where it's like, it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, you're like, yes.
Absolutely. And I've spent almost 30 years on the West Coast, and I saw many women move into positions of leadership from the front of the church. But when I moved back to Ontario, it seemed to be less here. And that's been a tension for me, is that I have seen a lot of leadership on the west side of Canada. I'm curious about this, Jen, Dr. Jen. And so I come back here and I think, you know, I want to be in a different position of leadership in the church, but it doesn't feel like necessarily culturally appropriate. Now, my church is doing great with that. I'm really grateful for that. But have you noticed a cross-Canada shift in that?
It's hard for me to speak on because I've been in leadership positions myself. So my experience is often tied to my role as being a Bible teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see differences between urban and rural for sure.
That's
or
good,
different parts of Canada, the prairies versus BC versus parts of Ontario.
Yeah, and Maritimes.
We're just such a diverse country.
So
well,
true.
And I
good
think
point.
It speaks to us as women who are in places of our communicators, leaders. That's a place for us in the church to say, you know, I want to use my gifting, you know, because we've got a next generation of women coming up who are looking to us to say, are you leaders, and if I aspire to that, mm-hmm. not everybody's going to be a leader, speaker, or a board member. We know that, but there will be people that will and can. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really good. Okay, let's roll along. Number three, labels don't predict practice. Go for it, Dr. Jen.
Okay, so there's both hurt and confusion, frustration, all of those things when what's said about women doesn't line up with what happens in a church. So another way to state it, where there's a gap between stated policy and practice. So if you're in a church that, say, let's say, says it's egalitarian, that it fully supports women in ministry, but you never see a woman preaching, you never see a woman teaching. Or it could just even be at the level of churches might say they value women's voices, but women don't actually play a role in decision making or in leadership, like even decisions that mainly affect women.
I would say that's a huge one in my experience. I have been in a pulpit because my husband kind of shoved me into it, and I grew up in a church where I never saw it, but it was like, come on, Helen, you need to step into this. But having said that, so for the last 40 years, that's kind of been my experience, and I'm grateful for it now, but at times I wasn't. But I always felt like I'm not enough. I had only ever seen men lead. And then since that time, how many times that I've talked to women that will come to me and say, In theory, this is we say we ordain pastors or we say we do this, but they never have an opportunity. And I would say, I'm going to just put it out there. I still think it's a massive issue that they feel like I've gone to Bible school or I've trained in that, but there is no place for me. And you said it in earlier, women are waiting for an invitation because if we just bulldoze our way in, we are seen as that's not appropriate. I think so often they don't expect the feminine part of humanity to do that. And yet we have aspirations. There's things we sense God calling us into, but if we're not invited to the table, it's a bit of a tricky place, and I hear that a lot from women. I feel like there's a call of God in my life. I've done everything I know to get equipped and ready, but there is no opportunity in my context. And so they'll go to other places because there isn't room for them at the table. And I'm sad about that.
Preach.
I kind of want to.
And so you will, Helen. So you do.
Yeah. And so when you hear this study, like I'm excited for the next generation.
I am too. Yeah. Like, come on. Good. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
And then finally, Dr. Jen, barriers to participation. So in this national study, there was very clear barriers to young women and women participating in the church, which is what, you know, Helen, you've said, but that's part of the conversation of like, what's our role? Why are we leaving? Why are we staying? So
I mean, part of it is, of course, the generation of women today have more skills. You know, they've been out in the workforce, have more skills they can contribute. But because of life stage, because of work things, like they just have less margin. Whereas older generations maybe had more space for volunteering. So there's this diversity of skills. How do you bring them to the church? But at the same time, of course, there are like systemic things that will prevent women from using their roles. Women, we found, have less tolerance for, especially younger women, have less tolerance for toxic or demanding environment. So if you're stressed out from work, you don't want church to be as stressful as those things. Concerns about psychological and spiritual safety, but also that thing of wanting to be invited in. Like, there's a lot of doors that are closed. And for younger women, how do those doors open?
Okay, barriers to participation. Experience that? Feel that, Sinai?
I think definitely it's real, but I want to challenge it a little bit as well, because sometimes I wonder if there's some overcorrection happening or overprotection happening, whereas the younger generation are so hyper aware of the toxicity and the harm that these spaces can cause that they don't push themselves in because they're kind of in protection mode, where it's like, I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to place myself at risk. I don't want to enter into a situation that's going to harm me. And so I'm going to overprotect myself and wait until it's safe enough, wait until I'm invited in, wait until proper things are in place, and then I will extend myself. And I think there can be some harm in that as well.
Good point. That's good insight.
We have lots to talk about. We do. But we have to take a break. And when we come back, reasons for hope and joy for women and the church in Canada. Stay with us. See Here Love is more than just a show.
This is the most diverse and inclusive women's show in Canada. You sought to make this space reflective of the kingdom of God.
Donate so we can keep creating inspiring content, host meaningful events, and expand our reach.
If you look around this table, you see so many skin colors, you see so many different age groups, and I think that's so beautiful.
Your support is vital to the continued growth and impact of See Here Love. Visit seeherelove.com/donate.
Are you ready to see God's faithfulness, hear His truth, and love like Jesus? Download your free See Here Love Bible study guides, created for women who long to grow deeper in faith, identity, and purpose. With a variety of inspiring guides to choose from, you'll find real stories, honest conversations, and biblical truth that speaks to your heart. Perfect for personal study or gathering with your small group. Visit seeherelove.com/Bible studies to download today.
Join the host of See Here Love, Melinda Estabrooks, as she invites women from across Canada to share their stories and lived experiences, their journeys of faith, their challenges, and wisdom, and to create a place of belonging, community, and where women come together to know they are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
Every one of you here is just like a miracle.
It's so important to be with people that encourage you.
Visit our website at seeherelove.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter for even more content.
Before we get to hope and joy, Jen, I know that you wanted to respond to tonight's thought as we talked about barriers to participation.
Yeah, and I think you highlight an important thing where one of the things that this research is calling us all to, regardless of the individual, but men and women as well, is how are we building church communities where people are safe, not just feel safe, or safer communities, that... You know, the onus is on me as an individual as well to participate in God's work of shalom, to be the presence, like, because I'm part of the church wherever I am.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love what you said.
Yeah, me
thank
too.
You.
So thoughts on this? I mean, it was just, it's very small snippet of the things that they studied and did, but some thoughts, takeaways or encouragement for a young woman in the church today or is looking for a church or has left the church. Nicole?
Yeah, I'm just still kind of thinking about all of the research. There's so much more that I would love to dig into, and I would love to chat with you further about this too, Dr. Jen, but wondering about the impact of the rural versus the, like, what happens different, and how do we invite women who might be on the periphery, or that, how do I, as an older woman, remind women that they have so much to bring in? Like, how can I be part of that? And that to me is a very important role for me to play. So where what's my role here? And I have to, this, it's just left me with a lot to think about.
Yeah, I think it's harmful to wait for someone else to create a safer community or to create a space where people are willing to come in and be a part of this church family. I think we are all the hands and feet of Jesus and think we all have a role to play based on our giftings and the positions that we're in. And so I think we should not be afraid to get our hands dirty.
Yeah, good. Girl. That's
yeah,
so
that's
good.
It.
As someone who is so passionate about the church, I love the church. I know it's flawed, it's full of flawed humanity, and I'm a part of that, but I have such faith in the church and the future of the church. And I love my nation. I love this nation of Canada, and I get excited about what can happen in the days ahead. And I want to take personal responsibility to take these women on the journey with me, that I want to look for the women, and what can I do to offer opportunities? Come sit at my table. Come with me. Let's go together. And also, as we're doing that, I think we're, for lack of a better word, educating the amazing men around us as well, that we are a part of the answer, and often we're waiting for someone to change the story. Let's be a part of creating change, and so I want to be a part of that.
Love that. Love that. Reasons for hope and joy, Jen?
Well, I think one thing from the research is that women do love the church and want to be a part of it. For me as a biblical scholar, I'm encouraged that despite all these different views, women really love the Bible. And so what separates us when it comes to the role of women in the church is more about how the Bible is read, not the fact that we value the Bible. Like, we all really care about that. I am just struck, like, the final report is something like 60, 70 pages long, and you get to see so many Canadian women's voices.
Awesome.
And so that gives me hope, seeing women's voices platformed. And really what connects us is more than what divides us, that we love Jesus and we love his people.
Yeah.
What's greater than that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. I'm glad you did the study. I'm glad you were a part of it. I love that, like, was it 14, 17 organizations came 14. Together? So 14 organizations came together across Canada to really do this because they're like, we love the Canadian women.
Including French women.
And French women, okay. Yeah. We love the Canadian women. We love the church. How can this work? And if we're thinking next generation, if we're thinking legacy, if we're thinking, will the church be sustainable? Yes. Mm-hmm. And there is work for us to do. Mm-hmm. And I think what a study like this shows is that there's work for us to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not putting it out there. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jen, and Nicole's, it's like me. What does this mean? If they're saying lack of visibility, if they're saying we want community, but yes, we need doctrine. Mm-hmm. If they're saying there are barriers, if they're saying... If they're saying, then how am I the answer to these things as a woman who has leadership, has platform? Yeah. And I think that's really cool and why a study like this is good. Mm-hmm. Because it really speaks to us to say, okay, there's some needs here and things that we need to that we need to support.
Yeah.
You know.
And it acknowledges that culture changes. Like culture is not stagnant anywhere.
No.
Right? And culture has changed in Canada. And so research like this is acknowledging that there is a cultural shift. Mm-hmm. And so that we, now that we have the data, what are we going to do with it? And how can we serve God's people today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just cultural, generational.
Yeah.
Like you say, like silent generation to boomers, to Xers, to millennials, to Gen Z. Like it's very wide.
The way they do church is
the way they
be
do
different,
church,
right?
And focus.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, really, really important too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that every generation needs to contribute.
Yes.
That when you mention the different ages and that I think for me a huge frustration often is that people in my season of life feel like I'm done, leave it to the young ones. And I'm like, step up.
Oh, we
right.
need that.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, where's the church? But how much we have to offer at every season of life. And I want to go out strong and encouraging others. Yes. I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, in fact, it's the wisdom, right? Isn't it the generational wisdom that I love stepping into a church where I see women of all ages, and some of them are parenting and some of them are, you know, and then there's those of us that, like for me, I'm like, this is great. And then older still, and I think that is wealth of wisdom and life. And may we just learn from each other and like you said, just bring each other along on this. It's powerful what we have to offer each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jen, as a professor at Tyndale University, are you encouraged by the young people coming in? Are you, when you're a contributor and, you know, researcher, does this encourage you? Does it not encourage you?
Yeah.
Just quickly, how do you feel after this?
I mean, I love my students. The fact that they choose to come to Tyndale to do a Christian liberal arts degree from a Christian perspective just shows their hearts. Yeah. And so I love anything that is going to platform the beautiful young women that I get to mentor. And a lot of the questions that we probably all had about women in the church and our place in the church, those are still live questions for younger generations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Good. Well, thank you, Dr. Jen and Helen and Sunait and Nicole for your thoughts and presence. And thank you. And where can we find out more about the survey?
There is information available on the EFC website.
Beautiful. Well, seeherelove.com for all the information about us, our events, our Bible studies, our free resources, and to watch our past shows and ways to join our community. And please download our free Bible study guides at seeherelove.com/Bible study. Follow us on Instagram for behind-the-scenes clips and daily inspiration. And if you need prayer because you feel like, I'm just not connected into a church, I don't have community, I have questions about the church, please give us a call at our 24/7 prayer line at 1-866-273-4444, and someone will be there to listen and pray with you and be there for you. And I like what Dr. Jen has said in conversations. Mm-hmm. Our research encourages the church to listen, to listen to women, and to engage in congregation-specific discernment that aligns convictions, culture, and practice. It takes all of us listening and championing and advocating and providing spaces for all of us to serve, to lead, and to use our gifts to see God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we do, always know that you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply, deeply loved by God. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Jen, for joining us. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe.
Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.